The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, a couple of years back, I don't know if you remember this, there was kind of this crazy, entertaining news story about a Delta flight that took off from San Diego and was bound for Minneapolis. And everything on board this flight was normal. In fact, it seems almost too normal because both pilot and co-pilot took a nap. And they left the plane on autopilot, flying over 150 miles past their destination of Minneapolis. And air traffic control was frantic, of course, and was finally able to use other aircraft to message to these sleepy pilots, who finally realized that they overshot their destination and turned around immediately. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, the newspaper article that was reporting on this story also posted the radar tracking history of this plane. And it's kind of interesting to look at because, you know, usually a radar tracking history, you can see, minor corrections that the pilots do and increase and decrease in elevation. And so it's kind of this, you know, just squiggly line that gets to the destination. But you can almost to the exact moment tell when these pilots pushed the button to autopilot and took a nap, because the line becomes absolutely straight over Minneapolis and ending up in Eau Claire before they finally turned around. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself in situations where it seems like God has decided to take a nap and turn on the autopilot, like these pilots. Sometimes I feel like my world, always adjusting and recalibrating, just kind of gets stuck, going in one direction with no one awake at the controls. Maybe some of you have had or are having some of these similar moments. Well, I know that the disciples in our story today felt the same way in the storm. In fact, if you notice and you read this story again, Mark makes the point as clear as possible to his readers by saying, "A great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped, but Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion." Yes, pilots in the cockpit, asleep at the controls. Jesus was in the stern or the back of the boat, of course, where the rudder is. And you know what? I think the disciples' first question, giving this situation to Jesus, is very appropriate, in my opinion. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" In fact, the translation for this word perishing, I think, is actually kind of puny. The word perishing was used actually in Mark 3:6, a couple chapters before, when it was used when the Jewish leadership decided to destroy Jesus. So another way of reading this question is, Jesus, do you not care that we are being destroyed? And I'll have to be honest, I know I have asked God this multiple times before in my own life. Maybe you have too. God, do you not care? Are you awake? And one, I think, could be a little bit disheartened from Jesus' seemingly angry response, right? Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? Well, gee, God, my world seems to be flying on autopilot with what seems like no one at the controls. So yeah, I guess I'm a little afraid here. But here's the thing. What if Jesus' angry response wasn't for the fact that his disciples had fear? You know, the Bible is full of fear. Anywhere from the Israelites to Moses to the prophets, there's a lot of fear in the Bible. So why then would Jesus be mad at just simply fear? What if there is actually something else? What if Jesus' angry response actually wasn't for the fact that his disciples had fear, but was that their fear caused them to ask the wrong question? David Loos, president of the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Philadelphia, reflects on this text by writing, "Fear lurks just under the surface of a lot of difficult moments in our lives. But is it unfaithful? This troubles me because I've long thought that faith doesn't banish fear, but helps you cope with it. At the same time, I do see a connection," he writes, "between fear and a lack of faith. Think of faith primarily as trust, not simply as belief or cognitive assent, but the kind of trust that motivates you to action." And Loos uses this interesting example of someone babysitting your kids. You only let someone whom you really trust watching your little ones while you are away, right? And he finally goes on to say, you know, fear paralyzes, making trusting and the confident action that trust makes possible very difficult, if not impossible. In other words, fear gets in the way of trusting. So maybe the issue isn't that the disciples are understandably afraid because of the storm. It's that they allowed their fear to overtake them so that they don't come to Jesus and ask and make an assertion. But maybe they need to ask something like this. Maybe they should ask, "Teacher, we need your help. Please get up, help us, guide us," instead of making assuming in the worst case scenario, "Teacher, don't you care that we're being destroyed?" This isn't a trusting or faithful request. It is a fear-induced accusation. So how do we learn to trust in our faith, even when it seems like things are on autopilot? Well, maybe water, in many ways the source of the disciples' fear in this story, can also be a vehicle for teaching us to radically trust in our faith. As I kind of hinted at the children's sermon, I got the privilege of floating with our Savior's Lutheran youth down the Blackfoot River on Friday, which was an incredible experience. Alan Pfister was helping to lead the group down the river. And Alan, of course, has lived on the Blackfoot River for almost his entire life. And so he knew and knows where all of the good swimming rocks are. So our group stopped at a place called Cable Rock, where you were able to jump off a tall rock and then swim back to a rocky beach. However, because of the Blackfoot current being a little bit strong, as soon as you kind of popped up from swimming, jumping off this rock, you had to make a little bit of an effort to get to shore. Otherwise, you'd kind of be carried with the current. And Alan situated himself right at the bottom of the swimming hole, just in case any of our youth got swept. And one of the most wonderful experiences that I was able to witness was Alan working with Noah Lofink in coming back. Noah was swimming around and, of course, got caught up by the current, and you could tell kind of in his face, oh boy, what's going on? There's some panic here. There's some fear. And Alan was right there, and he said, you know, Noah, the first thing that you need to do is not to panic. You're okay. You're going to be fine. And the second thing that you need to know is to, as Noah was trying to in his panic, he was trying to set his feet down and trying to kind of go back up river. And, of course, this didn't really get him anywhere. And so Alan said, you know, the second thing you need to know is to never try going against the current of the river. Instead, always go sideways to the shore. Now, you may not end up down river a little bit, but you'll get to the side much faster. So sure enough, trusting his advice, Noah got immediately to the side shore, and the panic definitely erased off of his face. In stormy situations, can we then trust the water enough to flow with the current and go sideways instead of trying to stop entirely and go back up river? Now, Alan was not doing the swimming for Noah, but was right there. And I could imagine that even in Noah's kind of panic, maybe he wouldn't even notice that Alan would have been there. Maybe the same can be true for experiences in our life. Can we say, God, come here and with me and guide me to the shore, instead of saying, God, why don't you care? This, I think, is the faith that we are called to. Faith that is trusting in a God who keeps promises. Faith in a God who, even if it seems, does not fall asleep at the controls, but who shows up and says peace to calm the wind and the waves. Let us work and lean on one another, not to allow fear to get so strong that it paralyzes us and doesn't allow us to have this faithful trust in God. Let us work and lean on one another to not panic when the river washes us down a little bit, but together flow with it and make our way to the side. Finally, let us work as a church, as a worshiping family, to radically trust our God, who is at the base of the swimming hole, even in our fear. Amen. Let us sing together hymn number 713 in the Blue Books.